What type of services are provided through the nursing centre here?
We provide a variety of public health services plus curative services, in the sense that nurses in fact are acting here as nurse practitioners rather than nurses, as the term is understood ordinarily in the South. So we stand here instead of general practitioners. We do everything that general practitioners do in the South plus a great deal more, and carry out public health preventive programs such as through the Well Baby clinics, the Well Women's clinics, prenatal clinics, teaching in the schools, and also the TB and chronic diseases control clinics. So a complete range of services. We have a small inpatient facility. We do low-risk deliveries, not many of them, but we do some. And we have an inpatient facility for people requiring care under 48 hours. After this, if they still require hospital care, they're usually referred out to Yellowknife.
What happens? Emergencies are all flown out, aren't they?
Emergencies are flown out. If they're acute emergencies, say something like an acute pneumonia, for instance, we could handle quite happily here. This would be resolved in probably 48 hours and the patient could go home. But say if it's an appendicitis or a broken leg or some problem with deliveries, it would be flown out. We have the services of a visiting GP who comes in about every 6 weeks, and we get specialist visits. We get dentists the odd time. The eye team comes twice a year. I'm working on getting an ENT team in here. Our audiologist has just resigned, unfortunately, and various others. We get a lot of research-type people who come in to collect facts, figures, and statistics, but I think the Inuit are getting a bit fed up with that. They're not seeing much results for all their cooperation.
What would be the commonest types of illnesses, sicknesses that you have to deal with here?
The commonest type of contagious diseases is respiratory infections. A lot of the older people have had TB, they smoke, they do hard work in cold weather, and that's a deadly combination for what we call chronic obstructive lung disease. In which there are chronic changes in the lung, which makes them prey to acute infections on top of that. And there's a lot of those. And given the housing conditions, somewhat crowded in many cases, as you've recently seen, we get epidemics of influenza. We've been lucky with this one that we've been up in numbers, but we've had no complications. A couple of the older people have got mild pneumonias, but they've been handled here in Spence Bay. We haven't had to send them out. Respiratory infections in children are extremely common and a very great problem, and one that's going to continue to cost us a great deal of money is hearing loss through ear infections. These children are educationally disadvantaged, they're going to be personally disadvantaged, socially disadvantaged, and as one of our recent pediatricians used to say, Yellowknife Correctional Institute is full of young men who can't hear because they've never been socialized. The myth is that this problem has been somewhat resolved over, say, a decade or two ago. It's not. It's still a huge, huge problem, and it's going to be a very expensive one, as these children require special education, hearing aids, corrective legal services, social services. They'll be educationally at risk, therefore they won't have jobs, therefore they'll be on the social welfare rolls, probably engaged in you know, petty criminal activities and so forth. It's a downward spiral, and it starts with otitis media, or middle ear infection in children, and we've by no means got on top of it. Next to respiratory illnesses, the next obvious greatest problem is mental illnesses. I think there's a bit of a myth in the South that there's a rustic idyll somewhere where people love each other and live in total harmony and peace and so on and so forth. This doesn't exist, and Spence Bay is no exception. There are huge problems here. The community as a community is very highly stressed, and individuals within it also are very highly stressed. And the response to that, of course, is the substance abuse that you see is rampant here. I don't particularly have mental health skills. I don't have an additional course. I've just picked up my counseling skills on the way. Now, there is some available through social services, but obviously you need to get at the root of the problem, which is the aimlessness, rootlessness, unemployment that these young people perceive. Depression is a huge problem. I'm beginning to recognize its effects even in children.
What about diets in this community? Are they...
Well, to the extent that people stay with their traditional diet, and this is something we've been trying desperately to promote, they remain healthy. To the extent that they accept a Southern Kablanak-style diet, they're not. Dental caries is a huge problem. Obesity is a problem. Anemia is a problem. And this is almost entirely because Inuit have accepted a Southern-type diet.
The worst items of it.
The worst items of a Kablanak diet. Of course, there are good things about a Southern diet, the fruit, the vegetables, the milk. But these are expensive here. And the thing is, these are perishable goods which have to be flown in. And not only do you pay for the goods, but you pay for the freight as well, which is enormous. The cheap junk food is cheap because it comes in on the barge at Southern prices. And of course, this is very easily obtainable. People are improving somewhat in their knowledge that Kablanak food is not good food, but there's still an awful lot of it around. We preach it through the Well Women's Clinics, particularly the Well Baby Clinics, through the schools and so forth. The message is sinking in, but it's very slow. We can't keep up with the advertising. And it's very freely available here. I'm sure you realize living with an Inuit family is a fairly permissive attitude toward children. If they want junk food, they'll get it.
There's no alcohol here, so that's one problem that you...
Well, alcohol is not illegal, it's just that there happens to be no outlet here. But you're quite free to bring it in. Now, other communities have other profiles, and you'll find that violence, homicide, suicide, accidental, alcohol-related death predominates, Cambridge Bay Copper Mine being cases in point. We're not at that stage yet. I'm hoping to be spared it.
Are drugs or food sniffing a problem here?
Drugs are expensive. I think they exist, and we're just beginning to see them now. This is tales out of school, and it's pure speculation. I think they're coming from Baffin, because Baffin get drugs from Montreal. But they are expensive. They're not that freely available yet. There is a lot of solvent abuse. The women's group are trying to get together. In fact, I've just been previewing some films on solvent abuse, because they want to mount a program, an educational program in the school, and the drug and alcohol people also are interested in doing that. There is gas sniffing. There was a death in Pelly Bay last September where a young child died from gas sniffing. And I see this as increasing.
Is smoking a health problem?
Yes, it's a huge problem. Now, among the adults, we've had some certainly interest in stopping smoking. Just going back not too long ago, you grew up and you smoked. That was it. Case closed. It was just something that you did, like getting married and having a family. When you grew up, you smoked. Now that there's a realization that there is an option, and we've had some success with a couple of things. One is the use of the nicotine gum, and we have a GP who practices hypnosis, and he's had some success with that. We have had some adults quit. The problem is with the younger age group, and they're smoking at 8, 9, 10 years of age. And again, the permissive attitude on the part of parents doesn't help a whole lot. It's produced a lot of morbidity and mortality in the past. The deaths from lung cancer were all smoking related. They were all heavy smokers.